This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Atlanta! Who's ready for game three? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man! Hope you're having a great day. We are ready for another Braves victory today. And if we do win, it would be a commanding, as they like to say, 3-0 lead in a best-of-seven series, and the odds certainly would be in our favor. But, Mike, today we hand the ball to a guy that's been our best pitcher, and he's got plenty of playoff experience. And Mr. Morton, Charlie Morton, handing the ball to, or they're handing the ball to Charlie, should I say. And I feel very confident about tonight. I just do, man. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's these last two wins. Am I being too overconfident right now?
No, I mean, look, you're still going on the road. You still got Walker Buehler. So, look, it's the Dodgers, and they're going to have a little juice at home, certainly. Although it will be fun to see how many Los Angelinos make it on time for a 2 o'clock first pitch. Their city, obviously, is the worst traffic city in America. I mean, we know what it's like, obviously, getting out of the park. Getting in the park isn't that the problem. It's getting out of the park. There they have problems going to and fro. But Eddie Rosario in the leadoff spot. Freddie, who has been, you know, struggling. We talked a lot about his strikeouts. And much has been said about it. I saw some stuff this morning on MLB Network about it. Ozzie, Austin, Jock, Adam, Travis, and then Dansby in the eighth spot, which is great to have a guy with his pop down there. So, hey, man, let's just keep on rolling. We've pressed the Dodgers. I saw some nonsense. A bunch of listeners hit us up on Twitter, Carl, saying, down 0-2 at home, the Dodgers have the Braves right where they want them.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
That's the way you want to do it. Okay.
Listen, you got to make yourself believe whatever it is you need to believe. And you're right. I think the crowd will be sparse, but we'll see. I mean, it is an early start time in LA and things don't get started out there until late usually anyway. But the fact is there are many reasons to be confident if you're a Braves fan. If you are just tuning in and you're going, man, I don't know. I'm a little bit afraid. Listen. We've got a 5-game win streak, right? The last time we lost a game was the first game of the NLDS, okay? We've won 13 of our last 15 games. That's regular season and playoffs. Guys, we're peaking at the right time. Eddie Rosario is on fire. He went 4-for-4 the other night. He's 9-for-22. The guy's hitting .409 in the playoffs. Jock Peterson, he's hitting over .350 in the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, Mike, even despite the fact of what you just said about Freddie Freeman. Yeah, I need Freddie. I need Dansby. I need Darno to hit. But we're still winning without those guys performing at the peak level.
So, again, we hope that our bullpen continues its role. I mean, doing a great job and doing its job. Because, Carl, we spent a lot of time fretting over the bullpen. And as we said, they've really been, you know, lights out. Hopefully they can continue that because, let's be honest, wasn't great the last three games we played in L.A. We got swept earlier this summer. So hopefully, you know, we're on a more of a mojo and a roll. And the pressure is on the Dodgers. Pressure's on Dave Roberts, too, how he handles his bullpen, how he uses his starters. If Walker Buehler, if we get the pitch count up on him, that might be something. We'll have to watch how the Dodgers handle it or hopefully mishandle it.
Yeah, the Dodgers, and the reason why the pressure's on them, guys, is Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Find us, by the way, on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell 92.9, this radio station, 92.9 The Game. Follow us and find us on Twitch as we're live every day. And, of course, we're on the Instagram. Insta. It's on them because they haven't produced runs. This is one of the best run-producing lineups in the league. And it's one of the reasons why they won the World Series last year. 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position, Mike. If that trend continues, then definitely we are playing in our favor and we're going to end up moving on. But that's the first two games. So that's why the pressure's on. All these big bats and all the money they've been paying, Mike, these guys are not coming up in the clutch. Our guys are.
Right. And look, we know the Dodgers last year, they came back from. So maybe that's where some of the bravado's coming from, or some of where the media types and where that headline came from. Because, yes, look, we did blow a 3-1 lead. We do. Let's be honest. We all kind of shrug, Braves fans collectively, as who would be our fourth guy if we had to go to one. I mean, hopefully we'll be able to, you know, get things rolling. And if we do need to go to Hinoa or Smiley at some point in this series, that they can handle their water. But the best way, obviously, is get these guys down 3 games. And Morton doing his thing. And, yes, I know that Freddie is struggling. But, again, it's funny. It was just 2 games. Everyone's prisoner of the moment. The guy did hit the home run that put us in the NLCS. So I'm not freaked out yet. Now, Freddie strikes out 3 times. Again, okay, now we got a situation.
I'm with you. I agree with you. I said it's. I can't overreact to this because this is one of those things. Again, if this was June, and it's not, but if it was, you'd just be going, he's going through a bad stretch right now. I'm okay. This thing is going to turn around. Freddie's too good of a hitter for it not to. And he could give us a big hit in a big moment, whether it's today or the rest of this series, depending on how far it goes. Want to know what you guys think. How confident are you for game 3? Chris, let's get the poll question up at Dukes and Bell 929. Based on all the things that you've seen, whether it's the momentum of 2 walk-offs in games 1 and 2, whether you're handing the ball to arguably your best playoff pitcher today, or it's just the fact that, hey, man, I got a feeling. You know what? It just feels right. And I feel like this is not last year. This is not going to have the same result as it did. We'll get the poll question up. We want to hear from you and get your votes out there as well. There's a lot of other things going on, guys, which we'll dive into today, including Hawk season starting on Thursday. And we, Mike and I, are going to get a chance for the first time to talk to John Collins since he signed that big deal in the offseason. JC was great last year on the playoffs, joined us numerous times through our run to the conference, you know, finals. But the expectation this year, listen, Hawks aren't sneaking up on anybody, okay? Everybody knows about Trey. Everybody knows about our young nucleus, Mike. Nobody's going into any arena this year and going, I wonder if these guys are any good.
Now, remember, when John comes on later, nobody say that I thought I wasn't sure about him getting that contract. Remember, I was a big supporter of him getting that contract. So remember that. Just say nobody, you know.
Don't bring that up.
Don't need any provocateurs, you know, going, hey, by the way, Mike said, I'm not sure if he's worth that contract. So, you know.
Hey, man, we want everybody to earn their keep, right? We want everybody to earn their keep.
And, like, he got paid. Red Velvet got paid yesterday, 4 years, $65 million. And, again, it's funny because I had some guys who obviously don't watch the Hawks. I mean, everybody, it's just the going rate for a guy who does what Herter does. But, it raised some eyebrows for some folks. But he is part of the whole collective effort. As you and I said yesterday at the end of the show, now we want to see if we get a full season from Cam Reddish and what DeAndre Hunter can do, because their contracts will be coming up soon as well.
Yeah, you can't pay everybody a max deal. It's just not going to happen. Trey got what we consider a super max, which will kick in if, you know, he hits the criteria, which needs to happen. John got a $100 million deal. Okay, these are your two guys at the core of the group that you said, okay, we're going to build around, and we believe we can build around them and win a championship. But Mike, Cam and DeAndre Hunter, I don't know which one, but you can't give everybody a max deal. So for Herter, I thought it was a fair market value deal for what you get. And Herter's going to improve as well, but we're not going to be in this situation where there's going to be 4 guys on this team making over $200 million. It's just not going to happen. No. We're not going to go into the luxury tax that way. And if we do, guys, I'm guessing when we make that decision, we probably will have already won a championship, Mike. And maybe you're luring some super veteran in here who's a scorer and who could help us win more titles, and that gets you over the luxury tax, like the Lakers are doing right now, you know? But that's not where we are right now. We're not in that position.
Right. So let's embrace what we got and hope that this year, I mean, look, we definitely got the swagger department down. You know, these guys are definitely embracing it as well they should. We talked about the great response they got at the Braves game on Sunday night when they showed Trey and everybody saying play ball. But now it's time to get to work with expectations. The expectations this team has never had before. But it seems to me like this young group of guys, they were so clutch in New York, in Philly, could have beaten the Bucks if we're 100%. I think even the most hardcore NBA fans outside Atlanta would agree with that. But now they got to do it, Carl, with expectations on their shoulders. How do they handle it?
That's the thing, man. Hey, polls up. How confident are you in tonight's NLCS Game 3? I want you to go vote at Dukes and Bell 929. That is on the Twitter. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, we're going to talk to our man Chuck Smith. He will give his Ballers and Busters coming off the weekend, and we'll also turn the page and look forward to the Dolphins. Mike, it's interesting. We were having this conversation with a bunch of people yesterday. I know there's some hardcore Dolphin fans. Listen, there's core fans in every city of every team, but these guys were kind of going in and saying, hey, I think you guys are being too hard on Tua. That's not the issue. The Dolphins have other issues. I'll be honest with you. I don't care what the issues are. I just want to beat these guys on Sunday.
Hey, no, look. He threw for a ton of yards, and we're a secondary that if we don't get pressure from the down linemen, and we do struggle sometimes with quarterbacks who can move around in the pocket. I mean, that's in a small sample size of five games. But Tua, I mean, yes, if you just looked at the stat sheet, 329 yards, a touchdown, but the pick was brutal. There was a bad throw. They had the ruling. Most of us watched the game because it was the early game from London. Look, it's not us guys. The organization is on the fence with this guy, and that's what we've heard from all our guys. Armando Salguero, we're going to talk to another member of the Miami media as we take a look at this game and preview it. They're still not sold on the guy. So you feel it's a false narrative. Regardless, it is the narrative, right? It's what's been said every week.
It is. I mean, and again, it's not whether we like the guy personally.
Yeah, we're all pulling for the guy, especially after the injury he endured, right?
But this is all based on all these young quarterbacks have something to prove. Hell, guys, Baker Mayfield, he may lose his job on Thursday night. And I say that meaning, are the Browns fully committed to paying Baker Mayfield? Everybody else that he's played, these other young quarterbacks have out-dueled him, okay? He goes, they got to play the Broncos on Thursday. He's got the injury. Mike, he's playing, I mean, literally, not only for his contract, but he might be playing for the longevity of his time there and being the franchise quarterback of the Browns. You have to have people buy into what you are. And if you're not doing that, Tua's not doing that right now.
Yeah, and I know that Case Keenum is not an answer. He'd be a fill-in. But Baker Mayfield, guys, those don't know, he aggravated that torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. He says he's going to throw, but we'll talk about it in the NFL Blitz in the 3 o'clock hour.
All right, man. Coming up, Chet Smith's going to join us. Our headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down, guys. We can help. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live, live well. More on the Hawks, who get their season started Thursday. More on the Braves. And when we come back, we're talking NFL with Chuck Smith next. It is Dukes and Bell. Countdown to game 3 is on as we are getting ready for the Braves to hopefully take a 3-0 commanding lead. More about that coming up. But right now, let's talk to our man with that music. It's Chuck Smith, who joins us on Tuesdays as we get ready for another week of the NFL. But coming off the weekend, let's dive directly into Ballers and Busters with Chuck. Let's waste no time today.
Hey, guys.
Who performed well and who didn't? Chuck Smith's Ballers and Busters on Dukes and Bell.
All right, you said you had a bunch of them. Let's get to it, Chuck.
I got some heat for you, Carl, Mike. Listen, first and foremost, man, let me give a baller out to the Cincinnati Bengals and the improvement on the offensive and defensive line. Here's the deal, guys. The Cincinnati Bengals is winning, and it's much better protecting quarterback Joe Burrow. Let me tell you why. In the offseason, they signed Quentin Spain. Now, check this out. He's allowed 0 quarterback sacks, and here's how crazy it gets. Zero hits, guys, when it came this last game, and only 4 quarterback hits for the season. But let me tell you something that I think the Falcons should have looked at real quick. On defense, the Bengals have improved so much. The acquisition of former third-round pick Larry Ogunjobi was money well spent. Now, they've teamed him up, Carl, Mike, with DJ Reader, who is Grady Jarrett's best friend, who's the highest-paid nose guard in the league. They both played at Clemson together. They trained in the offseason together. So when you look at it, DJ was picked up last year as the highest-paid nose guard of all time. Then they get Larry Ogunjobi. Now you're throwing Sam Hubbard. They went out and got Trey Hendrickson, who's got 5.5 sacks from the Saints. I think when you look at how they put that together, that's a blueprint for what, our team could have done instead of sitting on their hands. And now Cincinnati is 4-2.
Yeah, man. And they got a quarterback, too, in Burrow that, again, outside of the knee injury, Chuck, he looks like the real deal. We were just talking about some of the younger quarterbacks. The Ravens got after Herbert. Now, we know that Justin Herbert's going to be a star in this league. But, I mean, look, you still got to have a pocket to throw from no matter what age you are in this league, right?
No, you're exactly right. And it's funny. You just said Ravens. Baller goes out to the Ravens front 7, Mike. Listen, everybody's been talking about Lamar Jackson breaking records and much deserved respect to that. Right, I'm even hearing people talking about Marquise Hollywood Brown, him and Bart Scott. Hell, they get more. That's getting more conversation than the defense. So look, man, people need to know this Ravens defense is locked down versus the run. No one's running on these cats. Listen, opposing offenses, they're only averaging 82 yards. Plus, they smash in court. Yeah, see, people talk about Lamar Jackson, but one of the reasons they're winning, people aren't running on them, and they're still getting sacks and doing a good job with that. They got 14 sacks. That's 6th most in the NFL. But check this out. They had 7 block passes versus the Chargers last week. That's crazy. Now, I'm going to hit y'all across the head. I've been talking about this cat, Mike Bell, Carl. And if I go, because I save my receipts, I told that team up in Flowery Branch to draft Max Crosby. They didn't listen. They passed on Yannick. They passed on Aaron Donald. I'm going to keep going now. Max Crosby, to me right now, is playing better than any defensive end in the game. A fourth-round pick in 2019. Check this out, y'all. 31 total pressures, 18 hurries, and he's always in the quarterback's face, dominant on the run, 3 sacks versus Denver. Now I think he has, what, 5 right now. And listen, this cat is a flat-out beast, man. And that's the one thing moving forward that I want the Falcons to understand. There's a difference between a hybrid and a defensive end.
Right.
The guys they got were linebackers that were truly caught in almost being a DN in Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley. When you look at Max Crosby, a lot of people sit. I give the Raiders a lot of credit. Mike Mayock said, you know what, this cat's a defensive end. So when they drafted him, they knew where he was going to fit. And plus, he's part of the pass rush family. But I'm just telling you, man, there's a lot to be said when you look at Max Crosby. So another baller real quick, y'all. I got the Rams. Listen, y'all. The Rams were Tyson Fury, and the Giants were Daniel Jones. I'm just telling you, man. Listen, I'm telling you, Daniel Jones was Deontay Wilder, man. The hits kept coming. Look, guys, no quarterback this year in the league took as much punishment, man. I'm telling you, as the New York Giants. Listen, the Rams have 4 sacks. L.A. picked off Jones 3 times. The Giants, listen, man. The Giants wrong for this, man. Hey, man, you know how something's just wrong, man. Y'all just picking the wrong people. But for real, they ain't got no chances. Let me throw out another couple ballers. My top 2 defenses this week, no Chandler Jones. Arizona's number 1, it don't matter. Marcus Golden, another player that I actually hit the people out in Flowery Branch to look at. He was out there again, 2 sacks. Who cares? You got Marcus Golden doing this thing, getting sacks. They knocked out Baker Mayfield. Number 2, Steelers. And I want everybody to hear this. The defensive player of the year, Cameron Hayward, is not T.J. Watt right now. Guess what? The Peachtree Ridge grad, the son of my former Falcon teammate, Ironhead Hayward, has been the highest-graded D lineman every week so far.
Wow.
So think about this now. Cam Hayward is a destroyer, had a sack this last game. No one can block him. T.J. Watt had 2 sacks last game. But here's the sleeper, y'all. Another guy we missed on, because I trained him too. I trained Cam Hayward. Alex Highsmith is killing it right now, taking over Bud Dupree. 4 quarterback hits, 1.5 sacks versus Seattle. Now, this is what I want y'all to feel. Check this out right here, y'all. Baller to the 2011 NFL draft class. This weekend, Cam Hayward became the 7th player from the 2011 draft class to record 60 career sacks. Von Miller, J.J. Watt, Justin Houston, Ryan Kerrigan, Cam Jordan, and Robert Quinn. Guys, the 2011 draft has turned out to be one of the greatest when it comes to pass rushers and defensive linemen of all time. Think about that, y'all.
But,
all of them got 60 more, and a couple of them going to have 100, Mike.
But here's the problem. And, Carl, that's the year we interviewed almost all those guys because we thought
and
the
we
Falcons,
didn't take one.
That's the year Dimitroff had to have Julio Jones.
We didn't take
and
one.
So, look, it's a tale of two ways of getting to the Super Bowl, Chuck. You know, we always said either have a guy for the quarterback to throw to. That's like a luxury item. The guys who get the quarterbacks on the ground are the bedrock of what wins championships.
You ain't lying, man. I'm stopped giving them receipts up north, man. That's dead. I got to get one more buster. I got to give y'all one buster. A buster goes out to the NFL league office, man, for changing the rules to improve scoring. They got interference calls are up, y'all. Carl, illegal contacts are up.
Yeah,
defensive
yeah.
holding is up. And I'm going to tell you the worst one. The offsides thing is the worst. If a defensive player even flinches, an offensive line may jump up like somebody smacked his mom or something. So think about it, y'all, right now. And let me tell you why. Through 6 weeks, guys, the NFL, the completion rate's 66%. Passer ratings are 95%. These are all-time highs. And passing touchdowns per game is up. And listen, right now, the passing touchdowns per game is the second highest point total of all time, guys. It's 23 points per game. And let me just tell you, man, it's unfair for defense. It's blasphemy. It's ridiculous, man. It's how many curse words can I say? Because I rarely curse, man. Listen, I hate it when I see a defensive lineman. He barely moved. The offensive linemen jump up. Listen, the NFL, I mean, it's killing defenses. Because, listen, there are no truly dominant defenses in the NFL. And, you know, that's where we have it. And I got one more thing.
Testify.
I want all the Georgia Bulldog fans, I want you to go to YouTube. I want you to go to Twitter. I got something for you. If you want to see what Jordan Davis, K. can become and what I like to see him become, I want you to watch Cameron Hayward. He plays in the 2-eye. He plays in the shades. So a little Georgia hit. As you go watch Cameron Hayward, guys, that's one day who Jordan Davis can become, and I believe he will, because he is a nose, a big bruiser. And when you see Jordan, you'll see Cam Hayward, and I hope that works out. Just a little nugget, man, from me.
Yeah, and listen, this kid is special. We've talked about him being the most disruptive defensive lineman. That's how I'm describing him, Chuck, in the country, period. And he's going to be a hell of a player for somebody in the league and playing on Sundays. You're absolutely right. Go check that video out and see what Chuck's talking about. Chuck, we will certainly talk about the Dolphins and the Falcons on Friday as we dive in to that matchup. But coming off the bye week, we hope Coach Art gets the guys ready. We're going to talk to him on Wednesday, but we're going to talk to you again on Friday as we start to break down that matchup and get our big-on-big matchups up front with the Dolphins.
Hey, and I got a little sneak peek. I'm going to tell y'all who it is. Somebody from up north from Flowery Branch, one of the players, came through the lab. When he started getting sacks, then I get his permission, I'm going to tell you who. So just let it be known. It's a little something could be coming for exclusively on Dukes and Bell, because I trained the hell out of them this last week.
That's what's up. We love that. Hold on. Let me get my bell.
Well, Falcon fans, every time Chuck sounds like, why isn't Chuck working? Well, apparently Chuck was working with one of these guys. We'll find out.
All right. I love it, man. Bring the heat, baby. Bring the heat.
Chuck, get us out of here, Chuck.
I live life every day like it's third and eight, man.
Appreciate you. That's Chuck Smith, guys. Great stuff. I mean, you talk about hard-hitting information right now.
Future, which then got you behind the eight ball with your offensive line for the 13, 14, and 15 season. So everything kind of had like a daisy chain effect with that draft for good and bad. Yeah. Julio was one of the greatest to ever dress out in a Falcon uniform.
No doubt.
At the end of the day, we never brought home the bacon.
And for me, you know, when you talk about, I always say this, that you shouldn't, if you're drafting right and you're drafting well, you fast forward 3, 4, 5 years, those guys should be still a part of your team. Part of our issue is a lot of these guys have just faded, either, you know, not been good enough, or they're out of the league, period. Mm-hmm. And so you've had a lot of turnover where some of these guys who you've drafted over the years, you know, where's the bedrock? I'll give you an example. Jake Matthews, I know we got to take a break, but for whatever you think of Jake, he's been healthy, he's been durable, mm-hmm. he's been on the field.
Right.
He's a guy that when you drafted him, this is exactly what we said. We need a guy to show up every Sunday and be there. That's part of this. When you start drafting talent, it's bigger than that. How long is this guy going to be around? Is he going to turn into what you think he is? It's Dukes and Bell, man. Hey. We got plenty more to dive into. Go ahead.
And just real quick, some of the names. If say Julio, you had to go to 6. You could have gone to 11, get J.J. Watt. Go to 14, Robert Quinn. 16, Ryan Kerrigan. All these guys playing in the league. Cameron Jordan, we see him every year in New Orleans at 24. And the aforementioned Cameron Hayward at 31. Falcons are picking 26 that year.
Yeah, and all those guys Chuck just talked about. All right, Joe Patrick's going to join us, guys. We're going to talk about our Braves next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, and I think it's probably a year's more maturity as a club and experiencing what we did. And you know, I've said before, we found out how hard it is to win a game. And I don't think you can't take anything for granted, and you got to go into, you know, you got to go after today.
That, of course, is Brian Snicker, our manager. Game 3 today as the Braves look to go up 3-0.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In this best of seven series, it is Dukes and Bell. Let's bring in Joe Patrick, our Braves insider. And we've been talking with Joe all year long. This has been exciting and fun. And we are finally at a point where we're talking about a chance to get to a World Series. But let's talk about today specifically, Joe, and handing the ball over to a guy that was 14-6 with a 3.34 ERA during the season. But it's not that. I love the fact that he's been here. He's done this in these big moments. Last year, we went into this series with Soroka and Fried, and we were keeping our fingers crossed that Ian Anderson was going to be great, and he was. I don't have to worry about that, handing the ball to Charlie Morton, do I?
No, absolutely. You're totally right, Carl. I mean, he's a guy who has been in the biggest moments possible in the game, in the sport. And I think that when you hear him talk, you can really sense that from him, that he feels a certain kind of comfort in this moment. And actually, I think that like he wants the ball in this exact kind of situation. And that's exactly the reason you go out and you get a guy like Charlie Morton, that kind of veteran to anchor your staff. You know, we talk a lot about, this has been kind of a profile of pitcher that Alex Anthopoulos has wanted to sign really for the last several years. It started with Dallas Keuchel back in 2019, who they picked up in free agency. Then they got Cole Hamels. That one obviously didn't work out as well. But I think that what you get in a guy like Charlie Morton today is just that experience, that moxie. The moment's not going to be too big for him. And I think those are the reasons why the Braves have the utmost comfort in handing him the ball during this critical game three.
Yeah, man, we were debating about, should you get Charlie out there on Sunday night versus, Ian. I think Ian just didn't have his fastball or whatever it was missing, but he'll get it back. Mm-hmm. Is the Freddie thing a thing? Because obviously Freddie's home run swing gets us where we are, but a lot of strikeouts in the first two games against the Dodgers.
Yeah, it is. And obviously, I'm sure everybody heard it was a career high for him, or tied a career high, the seven consecutive strikeouts. Of course, the last time he'd had those seven consecutive strikeouts, that was back in 2016. He ended up hitting like 1.1 OPS the rest of the season, was absolutely incredible after that. So clearly at that point, it wasn't anything that was like some permanent, issue with him. But this one, just seeing it happen, it is concerning to me. It just seems like he's whiffing on pitches that normally he just never does. Like I've seen, there was one like 94 mile an hour fastball out over the plate that he was swinging at and he just completely missed it. And, that's just not the MO of Freddie Freeman. He has such great bat control. You at least expect him to be, fouling these pitches off and things like that. It's the swings and misses that really concern me, and the fact that he's just kind of not close, honestly, on some of them. So having said all that, he is Freddie Freeman. And I think that nobody will be more determined than him to try to turn this thing around. And, if you're the Braves, I think that's one of the reasons you got to feel so happy with these two wins in the first two games, is the fact that you did it without that production from Freddie Freeman. I mean, guys, if you were to have been told that Freddie Freeman was going to start out the series like this, that Ian Anderson was only going to go three games in game two, or three innings in game two, all these things, you would say the Braves, no way are they 2-0. They're probably 1-1 at best. But then, you've got a two-game lead, so you got to be really happy with where you're at, and I think you just got to have faith that Freddie's going to figure it out. Maybe he'll get some tips from Dad, being back home in California.
Let's hope so.
Well, remember, Carl, he went through that stretch. What was that stretch, Carl, like in August, in July, where he didn't like not make contact in like some 20-some-odd at-bats? There was some crazy stat, right, where Freddie was not even missing, period. Every time he swung, he was either making contact or fouling it off.
That's when he got hot. I mean, that's when he started to really heat up and see the ball, and then you saw the average and all the numbers, slugging, OPS, everything just went up, and it became another MVP kind of season when you looked at the numbers. So that's what's so perplexing about this is you go, all right, he was hitting at a high clip, and then we get into this series, and he's cooled off. He's going to be fine, guys. It's Joe Patrick, our Braves insider. Can we talk about how good Tyler Matzek has been? Can we talk about how consistent Tyler Matzek has been for this bullpen? I don't know if everybody realizes this, but Snickers used him in every game this postseason. Six! And you start saying that's unusual because normally, Joe, you don't go to a guy that frequently. But Matzik, he's just been money.
Unbelievable. And the thing that Brian Snicker says that he loves about him so much is exactly what you were just saying with him pitching every game. He says every time they want to put Matzik down, you know, just, you know, we're putting you down today, we're not pitching you. Matzik will inevitably knock on his door, poke his head into the office, you know, a couple hours before the game and say, I'm pitching today. I'm ready to pitch. Put me in there. And that's exactly the kind of attitude that I think Brian Snicker in particular really loved. I mean, that's the same kind of attitude that Freddie Freeman has, a guy who wants to play every day. Now, you can argue whether that's actually good for the player, good for the team, and all that stuff. But I think that just having that mentality of wanting the ball, wanting to have control is huge. And especially for a guy like Tyler Matzik, it's just a great story of him being out of baseball just a few years ago, you know, had the yips, essentially, and couldn't throw the ball over the plate, despite being a guy who was a high-pedigree draft pick earlier in his career. So to see him go from that stage to the point where he is now, where guys can't touch him, I honestly think he's one of the best relievers in all of baseball, and he's showing that right now just with the velocity that he's throwing. He's touching 99 now, and that just wipeout slider that he's got, he can be that kind of guy who gets those big strikeouts for you, who can come in and inherit runners and get out of those jams because of the stuff that he's got. You just can't say enough about the guy. And honestly, the whole bullpen in general, the whole bullpen has been absolutely incredible. I mean, in game two, they only gave up one hit pitching the final six innings of that game. Granted, they put a lot of runners on base, but they are just, you know, it just shows the stuff that these guys have going right now, and they're fooling Dodgers hitters. So you just have to hope that can kind of carry forward into L.A. for them.
Yeah, Matzik did walk bats, and of course, once he gets on base, things start rolling. Then, you know, Luke Jackson inherited that, and he got a little haywire. But you're right, Matzik.
That was one hit he gave up. Yep.
Any time that he does struggle, he always bounces back, to Carl's point. It is our man, Jason. I said Jason. Joe Patrick. Jason Longshore is our buddy, too. But it's our man, Joe Patrick, brought to you by Jersey Mike's, guys. Be a sub above our Braves insider. So about the lineup, Rosario, by the way, how much credit does Snicker deserve in throwing him at the top of the lineup and the results we've gotten the first two games?
Huge. No, I got to say, you know, coming into this series, coming into this playoffs, you know, you identify potential weaknesses on your team, and you think that one is probably the bullpen of any of the areas. You know, the team was hitting well, the starting pitching was good. Maybe the bullpen was the question mark. The bullpen has been absolutely the best part of this team so far. But I also think, you know, there's a lot of talk about Brian Snicker and, you know, can he make the tactical decisions in games that give his team a chance to win? And I think that he has managed this postseason beautifully. And I even would say, like, even something like pulling Ian Anderson after the third inning of that game, I think it's a gutsy move to do something like that, but I think it was the right move. I think that he saw how good his bullpen is pitching and would rather rely on that than trying to, you know, stretch Ian Anderson and maybe potentially things getting worse for him both in that game, and then that could carry over into his confidence later on. So I think that Brian Snicker is actually doing a wonderful job. And you mentioned it with Eddie Rosario, putting him up at the top of the order. He's been a total kind of spark plug for this team, obviously, with the four hits in game two and including that walk-off winner. Absolutely incredible stuff from Rosario in this series, and credit to Snit for having the cojones to put him up there at the top of the order and let him do his thing.
Joe, can we do this? Can we go up 3-0? If we go up 3-0, I mean, you talk about now, it would be an all-timer. Guys, there's only one team in postseason history ever that's come back from 03. It's the Red Sox in 04 that did it. One team. So if we do it, Joe, now you're talking about unbelievable odds as far as the Dodgers and trying to overcome. Can we do it?
Yeah, and that's why this game is so important, because of what you just said. I mean, it could really just swing the series completely for the Braves if they're able to get that win. Because not only do you obviously take the 3-0 win and you just got to win one of the next five games or whatever, but the Dodgers would have to press in every single game. They'd have to throw the kitchen sink at you. And eventually that is just going to come back and bite you. You know, it's just hard to have that be sustainable for you and to come back in a series like that. I mean, if you look at a seven-game series historically in Major League Baseball, you know, the team that takes the 2-0 lead in them wins them 87% of the time. The last team that let that lead slip was the Braves back last year in this same series. But I think that is the reason why they – I don't know if they're going to win this game necessarily, but I think that they're going to win this series because of the experience they had last year. I mean, in game two in the post-game press conference, yes, guys were excited. They were happy to win and all that, especially Eddie Rosario talking to the media. But from Brian Snicker specifically, there was a very much a feeling of, keeping a level head, not getting too high, like we're just celebrating, like we just won the pennant or something. They know that there's still work ahead of them, and they know that because of what happened to them last year. So as disappointed as we all were with how last year kind of shaped up after such a promising start to that series, I think that experience is going to help this team this year, where they have a much better setup in terms of their starting pitching and everything. I think that's really just going to benefit them, and I think that's why the Braves will end up winning this series. I'll say that. I don't know. This game is going to be so important because you have two starting pitchers that both have pressure on them to go deep in this game and give their bullpens a little bit of rest. It's going to be a fascinating pitching matchup in this one. You got to watch out for the shadows during an afternoon game that's going to come play in. If a team can get out, jump it, and grab an early lead early in this game, that's going to be hugely important.
Great job, Joe. Joe Patrick, guys, tell people where they can follow you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at japatrick200.com, and you can follow Batter Up Podcast I do with our colleague Caleb Johnson. Just search for it on Batter Up on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great stuff, man. We'll talk to you next week, and hopefully we're talking about a World Series. Thanks again.
Yep, let's hope. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Dodgers are a prohibitive favorite in the mind of Vegas right now, Carl. They're minus 175. The Braves are plus 160. So, in other words, you bet 100, you win 160. Whereas Dodgers, you got to lay 175 just to pick up a C-note. Over-under in this one is 7.5. So, they're expecting 8 runs or thereabouts.
Yeah, that's interesting, too. All right, coming up, NFL Blitz, guys. We got a lot more to dive into on this big, big Tuesday program. We're going to talk about what happened last night. And Mike mentioned it. One catch doesn't make a season. We'll tell you what we're talking about coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.